If you could turn, open up your Bibles and turn with me to the chapter of John, St. John, chapter 20, verse 11. That's John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. So as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have put him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. And yet she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So whenever I read these chapters in the Bible, a lot of times there's a subheading. And in this particular chapter, it says the empty tomb. And some of the other ones, it says the resurrection. And I don't know about you, but whenever I read that, if I'm going through my readings, it always kind of lifts my heart a little bit. Because the resurrection was the fulfillment of God's plan. And if you think about Jesus' mission on earth, it was all leading up to that resurrection. And I don't know about you, but when I'm working on something and I'm able to complete a task or check something off, it always kind of gives you a good little feeling to say, yes, that's finished. That's accomplished. And I look at this as maybe the ultimate task ever of all time. Right? Think about what Jesus accomplished. He came down to earth, lived as a man, but lived the perfect life by completing his mission and living completely in God's will. And then he took the sin of all humanity upon himself and took that to the cross. And then he sacrificed himself, the perfect lamb. He gave up his life force in that moment and then overcame death by rising from that tomb 3 days later. Was there any task ever accomplished that was more impactful, that had a bigger outcome than this? You know, when I was young, I remember watching the animated version of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And for those of you who may not know the story, but there's the lion Aslan who gives himself up to the evil witch to save one of the children in the story. And they sacrifice him on the altar, and then, you know, there's the sad part, and then Aslan comes back. And I remember as a young kid having really been impacted by that and having no understanding of the connection and the relationship, and how C.S. Lewis was kind of giving a kid's story to show kind of the sacrifice that Christ made. And I think that's because there's almost something inherent in all of us. Maybe it's in our DNA, and God planted it there for that particular story to resonate with us and to hit us in such a way. To see such a sacrifice that someone would make be rewarded in the end to overcome death. And I think as believers, you know, that's something we should be joyful about and always remember that and take that with us. The second part, after the resurrection, is Jesus is alive with us today. So we're going to continue reading at verse 19 in St. John chapter 20. Now when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were together due to the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So we are serving a living Messiah. And as amazing as the resurrection was, there were other people in the Bible who came back from the dead. Most notably Lazarus, who Jesus raised, who was dead for several days. There was also the little young girl that Jesus visited and told her, "Arise," and she got up. And we've even heard stories probably on the news where someone may have been clinically dead for a certain amount of time and they somehow came back to life. But in all those instances, at some point, they eventually had an earthly death. Only Jesus, entire body and spirit, stayed alive after his resurrection. And if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 24, verse 50. That's Luke 24, verse 50 through 53. And he led them out as far as Bethany. So this is Jesus after the resurrection. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. So we know when something dies, right, its form decays. It returns to dust. It has no power. But our Messiah is alive today. He resurrected. His body never decayed. He never returned to dust. And his love and power is available for us today. It's there to comfort us, to strengthen us, and to guide us. And most importantly, to save our souls. I think Paul articulates this point really well. I'm going to have you do some more turning, but if you could join me to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. So that's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our own wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So what Paul is saying there is God's mercy is bestowed upon us through the living Messiah. So because Jesus is alive, we have mercy. We have God's mercy through Christ. The gift of grace can be received to us through Christ. And the reason we can receive that gift and have hope is because our Messiah is alive. So, amen. And lastly, so Jesus was resurrected. He is alive, but he's also coming back. So there are several verses that point to Jesus' return. One is, I'm going to read here, is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 through 28. And just as it is destined for people to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation with reference to sin, without reverence to sin, to those who eagerly await him. And if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. And this is Jesus speaking of his second coming. So that's Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes on the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet blast, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. I know when I was a little younger, kind of the thought of Jesus' second coming was a little scary. It's kind of a complete change in how the earth worked. It felt uncertain. Part of me said, I want to just live my life like everybody else. I didn't want Jesus to stop it at a certain point. But I think my perspective has changed a little bit, and I see it more now as hopeful. No one knows when Jesus will come back. There's many things in the Bible that kind of foreshadow that. And I know some people see things going on today that could be the precursors to that. But I don't think it's important to focus on when he's coming back, but just to know that he is coming back, whether it be tomorrow or whether it be a millennium from now. And I think the important thing to note of his return is we should view it as the same fulfillment of God's plan as the resurrection. Right? God's purpose of Jesus being on this earth was to live that life, to give us the example to live by, to take that sin and to resurrect so that we can be washed as white as snow. And what he did for us through salvation, he's going to do for the whole world in his second coming. He will make his judgment on the earth. And he will bring essentially heaven down to earth and have that millennial reign that is spoken about in Revelations. So in closing today, we should take joy and celebrate. We're entering the Easter season. Actually, we're probably already in the Easter season. But it's that time. It's the most important time of the year for us as Christians, because it's remembering what Jesus did. One was that he resurrected and overcame death. Two, that he's alive today. We can pray to him. We can go to him with our challenges, and he can help us and protect us and watch over us in all that we do. And three, he's going to return one day, and his promises will be fulfilled.